Thank you. As president of the Mount Pelerin Society, I want to take advantage of this opportunity to, first of all, call your attention to the general meeting to be held in Salt Lake City, Utah, August 14th to 19th. And this is a copy of the brochure, the information. Those who are members of the Mount Pelerin Society will have received their information. Those of you who have attended previously or would like to attend this meeting, a member can propose you as a guest to the meeting August 14th to 19th. John Bodden is present at this meeting and can provide you with information, and I encourage you to do so if you think you might wish to participate in an excellent program with lots of people such as the people here, plus a lot who are coming from other parts of the world. Second, John Bodden has said that there are a couple of fellowships for young people who might wish to attend the meeting in Salt Lake City, and they can contact John Bodden in reference to that opportunity. Finally, the Mount Pelerin Society itself, as a perpetual entity, and will be again presenting its Hayek essay contest. And I have brochures about that. It is aimed at students and young faculty below the age of 35, in which a essay is submitted, drawn from a paragraph from Hayek's writing, and for a discussion of the meaning of that, an explication of that, a new theoretical presentation, whatever the person wishes to do. And it is then these essays are submitted to three judges from the MPS, and those who are selected receive awards. The first prize is $2,500 plus a travel grant to Salt Lake City. The second is $1,500 plus a travel grant, and the third prize is $1,000 plus a travel grant to Salt Lake City. So anyone here who is interested or has students who might be interested, please see me during the day, and I have copies of this flyer, which gives a great deal of information about the essay contest. Now, by a concatenation of events, it turns out that all three people on this program this morning are connected to Georgetown University. I think it's only fit and proper, but that's how it happened to work out. Unfortunately, Terry Teachout is not able to join us due to illness, and Bob Riley has kindly offered to read Terry Teachout's presentation. As an introduction, I'd like to note that there is some background to the journalism of the philosophy of freedom that we represent. If we only look back as far as the period of during and after World War I, Oswald Garrison Villard was the editor of The Nation. He himself, as his middle name indicates, was the grandson of William Lloyd Garrison, the founder of the abolitionist liberator. Villard chose as his editorial writer none other than Albert J. Nock, whose name is revered in our society. Nock later went on to found the Freeman, and then when he retired from that, it left the opportunity for H.L. Mencken to found the American Mercury, which was so prominent in the 1920s. And then after 1933, Mencken's reputation changed because of his continued adherence to the philosophy of freedom, and which meant he now was opposed to the New Deal, which too many of the intellectuals now were enamored with. And so he became much more of a controversial figure. One of our deceased members, Murray Rothbard, often tried to carry on a bit of the Mencken tradition, especially in his movie reviews, at which he signed as Mr. First Nighter. Another important figure in our history was Felix Morley. Felix Morley won the Pulitzer Prize for editorials for his writings challenging New Deal policies when he was editor of the Washington Post, and went on to be an important figure in the 1940s and 50s and 60s, dealing with the kinds of issues that we're concerned with, not the least his book Federalism and Freedom, which I once again recommend to you. It has been republished in the Liberty Press edition. In the early 1950s, the Freeman tradition was revived by Henry Hazlitt and others, and then continued for a while by Frank Chodorov. And when he stepped down at the Freeman, it was then that William F. Buckley and Frank Meyer launched National Review. And from then, we have a much clearer idea of the development of journalism within our movement, especially from George Nash's excellent book on the history of the conservative movement since 1945. First of all, I'd like to introduce to you Father James Shawl, who is professor of government at Georgetown University. Father Shawl.